you're going to have open nuclear war in Israel and Palestine. And when the Arab League backs Palestine and Mr. Netanyahu is back to say, oh, Slick Willie, come on over here, and you have to, because of the treaties you've signed, stand with us. Whose side am I on? Neither one. Don't ever mistake that. But you better relook at those ancient prophecies, because that's where you're headed. And it doesn't have to be that way. That is another lack of similarity. It does not have to be that way, and taking up arms and weapons is not of God, and it absolutely does nothing but murder each other. It certainly, war does not solve anything except to increase depopulation, which is already intended for your world, and not of God, of man politic. So if I have a suggestion, it's you get your hands on as many of these books as you can, and you start reading as fast as you can. Because it isn't revelation. Oh, this is another thing. You cannot be real. This lady cannot be real. Because it's just not filled with all these remarkable revelations, isn't it? Isn't it? We're good journalists. We give people credit for what they have offered. And when we find something of truth, this lady would go in the library and look for the nearest cookbook. So if nothing else, there is no human way this woman could have done 200 books since fall of 89. So let's just say 90. 200 of them. We have thousands of hours of these kinds of tapes. And then I get someone, we'll believe you if. I don't care if you believe me or not. That's number one. I don't have anything to prove to anybody. But it is very, very surely time that you guys start proving something to God that it's worth His time. It's all right for the paper to run an entire section this week in the local news on getting prepared. This is earthquake country. The news will run from time to time, and this is worthy, worthy, worthy of you. Please, everybody, are you prepared? Are you prepared for the winds that are coming? And you see them coming, and they will get up in the morning and they will say, oh, we've never seen anything like this before. Before you're done, my friends, 250 mile an hour sustained winds. Tornadoes right down Tornado Alley just as fast as they can flow. And they're going to be in places where you don't have tornadoes. What is happening in your Midwest right now? And how has the government been able to take all the wetlands? And you've got poison smut in your wheat fields. And you've got new diseases. Mankind has crossed the diseases it didn't cross themselves. Viruses are a man-made entity. They are a crystalline string. And they are controlled by what we call a cap. And this crystalline string is attached to this cap by one molecule. And for a long time, that molecule itself was zinc. So if you could get a higher frequency and knock out that neck, it fell apart. But guess what? Viruses now have moved inside the bacteria, the microbes. Bacteria and viruses have moved inside the parasites. Cryptosporidium infects every water source in the human world. And treating it doesn't pull it out. These are serious things. And I'm sorry if I can't get completely grief-stricken over the lies that come forth. And I can understand that, well, show me the money. On the 13th, which I believe is probably next Sunday, one of the best speakers is going to come down here because he wants to see us. I get along really well with him. And you gentlemen from Extra, start getting your pencil ready because I want you to write these down. David Icke, I-C-K-E. He is a journalist. He did have television radio in England. He's from England. He is one of the most interesting speakers you will ever hear. Ever hear. And he's going to talk about the robots' rebellions and cloning and things like this that make the news in old Molly Dolly. Little Dolly. Do you really think the government thugs started with a sheep? Of course not. You're going to eventually have to face the fact that underneath every one of these bases that China doesn't yet have, still have 80, anywhere from 40 to 80 levels underground. Now, gentlemen, I will go to midnight. I want to name off some other names first. Certainly, let me finish a few of these names that I really want them to get to have an opportunity to research. In addition to David Icke, Dr. Lynn, I believe his name is Leonard Horowitz, on AIDS, Ebola, and other viruses. Kathy O'Brien, a mind control Delta Ultra MK Ultra mind control slave. Mark Phillips. These are just ones we know absolutely personally. Norio Hayakawa can tell you more about Area 51 and Groom Lake than anyone I know of, simply because he's researched it like everybody else, tries to keep up with what's happening and occasionally runs into someone from there. This is not sensationalism. This is just what is. And ones want to say, oh, you teach fear, you just tout subversion and you tout conspiracy. Well, if you can't see there's a conspiracy, you're blind. And I certainly do not tout subversion of any kind. What do you want? Anarchy? Isn't it bad enough? If I have any suggestion whatsoever, this is my job. This is her job. Not to try to get all of you to believe anything that comes out of even this mouth. Go check it out for yourself. Talk to these people. Some of you are going to recognize the name Fletcher Prouty. Ask Rick how you find him. Al Martin, CIA. Ask how you find him. Some of these people, because you are a tabloid, won't speak to you. Because you're noted for never putting anything that is truthful on the air, just sensational. Come on, Rick. Who are some of the others that are so incredible? Eustace Mullins. Why don't you just, before they leave, maybe help them with this? And let's not take time.
Grandma.
Oh, man. When you find V.K. Durham, gentlemen, you go. You listen to what Rick is going to tell you, because I'm here to tell you what she's going to say to you is real. And you don't have a James Bond story to match this. This reality is always better. So be sure and spend some time with Rick. And do so frequently. We're not going to have some flipping fit about whatever you run. We don't expect anybody, and hopefully everybody will leave us alone. You will just convince everybody that we are nothing and leave us alone. You're going to go up to that house if you want to. We're not going to allow anybody to come through and tear up closets and things to see if there is an automatic weapons. I mean, I have just told you that anybody who has a gun is off my list and may not even stay in my presence because it endangers other people. We don't deal drugs. We don't. Some people smoke. That's their business. But we're not going to have people going through everything that is precious and private to us. If you want to go up there and meet Millie, Willie, and Tilly, the macaws, you can do that. And
can
then
I
there's Rosie. Sure.
Where are you right now?
Oh, that's for me to know, and you just wonder.
Okay, can you describe what you look like?
I'm an energy form. Unless I choose to be in physical shape, I am probably 9.5 feet from toe to top. But I extend quite an aura, so it's large.
And why is it that you chose Doris to speak through?
Because I can trust her. We've worked together for a long time, both this time and prior.
I mean, how did you come to meet her?
I've always known her. And she is very willing and very capable.
Did you find skepticism when you first talked to this group?
Of course.
How did you overcome that?
Truth overcomes. You can check out anything that I say. Truth overcomes.
And the truth, I know you've been talking for quite a while, but is it possible to sum up what your message of truth is?
The message of truth is basically goodness. You are free will created manifest individuals. And this is where we usually lose, so I'm going to have to put my own trust in your intelligence. And I'm not talking about your intuition, I'm talking about your intelligence. If you can believe that you are man and that there is a God, then we don't have to argue this point. If anybody in here believes there is not a God, then speak now.
Well, are you God?
I am a fragment of God. I am part of the God. As my role, I am a host of God that would be sent. I'm a messenger.
Do you control the Phoenix Institute?
No.
Is that
well, actually, I make very, very sure that those who are not honest usually don't stay. So I don't understand what you mean by control. I don't control anything. And anyone who gives their control to anyone, anything, any idea, you better know what you're doing. So no, I do not control the Phoenix Institute, nor any individual therein. And that's obvious, because I certainly would have done a better job of it. Every man has a right to make his own free will choices.
You mentioned Betty Tootin earlier. She says she gave you $400,000.
She gave me nothing.
She gave the Institute.
She loaned the Institute some money, and she got notes. Oh, you would not have had that speech from yesterday. Let's talk about Betty Tootin.
Can she get her money back if she claims it? We have the promissory notes that they're payable on demand, right?
Yes, but she has failed to produce her other agreements. And you see, you're talking partly in this room to the choir, man. They know what it is.
Am I talking to Doris or am I talking to
Hatton? You're talking to Hatton.
Okay.
If you want her, I will withdraw and we'll get right down to letting you have an interview.
Sure. That'd be great.
Salud.
Well, you do a couple more questions.
Oh, you have a couple more questions to the commander?
Yeah.
All right. You want to shoot him from back there? Or you want
sure.
To
yeah. I'll shoot from back here. Wait just a minute. Commander, could you tell us...
We'd like to get you on tape as well.
could you tell us where you...
That's it.
Okay, now you're on.
Commander, could you tell us where you come from?
Well, I basically come from, as do most of you, what you would refer to as the central sun. That is energy form. And I always get in trouble when I start speaking of light. And I get in trouble speaking about light because of some ongoing problems that we have with the ones who brought the first historical documentation of what is light. I don't think there's any argument in any religion that God is light. Christ is light. Do not misinterpret the term Christ as being affixed to anyone by any name. Let it be Buddha, Jesus, whatever you name off the ones that you might have considered historically to be Christed energies. It's like love. You cannot put a definition that you can reach out and touch onto an emotional state. You have physical, you have energy. And to make up a human body mobile or functional, you have to have the mechanism, physical, and it has to be merged with the energy that allows life. You take that a step further, you are going to have soul. It is the you of you. You will go physically about your life saying, oh, I recognize Phil because I know him. If his face were removed, you would have to say, well, I think that might be. He walks a little like him. He's the right size and everything. But you use this part as your identification of a human, another entity around you. We do not utilize that physical appearance. And that physical appearance, my friends, is not you. That is what you, in your physical form, have decided to use for identification. Period. Nothing more. The moment that soul energy that is you departs the body begins instantly to it goes back into a different form of energy. And when I say degenerate or it degenerates, it is having basically only a reversal of itself back into its original elements. You see, you are made up of everything in the universe combined in a blueprint called DNA RNA structuring. You are a pattern. And that is what makes you as an individual being unique. And this is why you cease to be unique if you are cloned, with one exception: mind. And if you clone properly, you can create a life form that is an identical mind. And that's what is utilized most often, is a downloading of your computer called brain and mind, so that attitudes, opinions, and things can be carried over into the next copy. But basically, otherwise, that being would become its own self, its own unique entity. So you have the manifest, coalesced energy that forms a hologram. But it becomes even more and more dense as you add some of the elements, because you have to have compression against this entity or it all falls out. As long as you have only light projection, as in a hologram, you can have a three-dimensional thing that you may or may not be able to touch. Some holograms are strong enough, projected strongly enough, that you can touch them and they feel real. But the human form must contain all of the working human elements. And if you have a container that has a bunch of holes in it, the water is going to pour out. It's not going to do you any good while you're waiting for it to absorb into the cellular structure that makes up your body.
Can I ask you another question?
Yes.
Are there forces of evil out there and that are specifically aligned against you and your followers or other, you know, human beings? And are there representatives of them on Earth? I mean, can you give me names?
For sure.
Can you give me specific names of those who are evil and what they're doing against you and against humankind?
Well, I can only generally say that you serve this evil entity, or maybe you consider it a good entity. You see, everything is only in perception. What is your perception of this story? Well, I'm sure that you talked to ones who sounded sincere, and now you've got to put up with one you can't even see who may or may not sound sincere. So only life can only be as objective as your perception. And that is part of the unique you-ness. Only you, individual, can have your perception. What one of you who are guests here today think is not what the other one has to think. How nice if you can agree so that you don't come to fisty fights over it. But if you look logically at life and attitude, everyone, according to all of their background training, are going to have a perception suitable to what they perceive.
So can't give me specific names, or do you know of anyone specifically that we should be on the lookout for? In government or...
Man, I don't need to take on that one.
Tell us about the Earth changes. Now, this is something that you have specific knowledge of, that there are going to be massive changes and catastrophic natural things happening here. Is that the case?
Well, yes, I do. But I always play that down as much as I possibly can, because all you have to do is look at your orb to realize. You see, where we're going to lose also, viewers, is you can hit this and you say, that's real. No, that is a coalesced piece of mechanism. that is manifest. Now, that does not detract from the reality of your experience within this play, if you will. You are an actor on a stage in a play. You're running a camera, you're asking questions, you're doing whatever you're doing. That is your play. That is your role. And you can't, and neither do you want, everybody else in the world doing what you do. Because that's what each individual strives to do and be, is a bit greater, a bit better, a bit higher, a bit more intelligent, a bit more skilled. Or else you're just kind of vegetating and you don't give a damn, and I'm, you know, we all know those. Or, I want something for nothing. Well, there is no free lunch. And when we talk about a magnificent living organism, if you think your body is a wonderful and perfect organism, it's nothing compared to other organisms. You are unique because you have been gifted with free will, thought, choice. Man and all things created are the thought of God made manifest. It's an electric world. You are an energy form made manifest by thought, idea, being. And every time you get behind your camera or you ask a question, you are bringing creative ideas into reality. You see, yesterday you had no meeting here. Today you have created and precipitated a meeting in this room that all of you can somehow experience. But it means nothing to the ones that are not here. It doesn't devaluate it. It simply means it's not on their play stage for today. You look at this wondrous, wondrous planet. And someone will come up and say, oh, no, we found a skull and it's 10 billion years old. It's as old as there is thought of God. So you cannot even put an evolvement time on a planet. You can say it orbs out here, you know, it's doing its thing around your sun. Well, basically, it isn't even doing that. Except in your perception. And, you know, people like Bruno and Copernicus and so forth got killed for this. For saying, this world is not the center of the universe. It is perhaps your planetary structure that is the center of your universe. Because you are on it. If you were in Pleiades or on the Sirius kick, that would be your center of focus. So that would be your little central universe. You can only perceive and react and respond to anything according to the way it hits you personally.
What are there other life forms in the universe?
Oh, of course. Of course.
Where and...
There are 178 billion... life form producing and sustaining orbiting planets, if you will, life form, life in your galaxy.
Have any made contact with Earth or the present Earth?
Constantly.
How? Tell me, do you know of any incidents or that are being caught?
There are many that are walking your place, and you're not going to tell them apart. Your host fleet, if you will, basically last harbored or where we have to work with our own command. Most of those instructions will come from ones who are on or within the Pleiades constellation. And I tell you, if you want to watch the little Wee Dipper, you're going to have trouble seeing it, and especially with Hale Bopp out there, because it's going to catch your eye. But you're going to find that both Hale Bopp and the Pleiades constellation, you're not going to be able to see well if you look at them with the cones of your eye, this focus part. Because of the light that is being emitted, it looks like Hale Bopp is very, very bright, but actually its frequency of light projection is not that bright. So if you look under it or either side, but especially if you just drop your focus and complete, do not focus on the object, focus underneath it, it will come into what are called the rods of your vision field, the periphery vision, I think you might call it. And you will be able to, if you can continue and practice to hold your focus without, the minute you see it, you want to look at it again. But if you can keep your focus straight underneath it, you will see it in its magnificent form. And then you go right over here, because if you're paying attention now while you're focusing underneath that, you're going to catch this little star cluster out here. And you're going to try to look at it. And you're going to see five or six or seven of those stars. But if you don't look at it, you're going to see them all. That is your sister, like you have sister cities. That is your sister constellation of human species on Earth. That is not mystical. That is not strange. It is where the other life forms are more nearly like you. So almost all of the real integrated Pleiadian people in your society will be average. You won't recognize them. But they're there, and they are working diligently to try to bring some kind of a reasonable evolvement here to at least a remnant. When you talk about the little gray aliens, are they real? You bet they're real. And they have been tinkered with, tampered with, and they are not what Willis Strieber will produce for you. And abductions are a bunch of baloney. No alien from the cosmos would touch one of you without a contract. A lot of abductions have taken place in the name of aliens that no alien ever touched. There have been some very crucial crashes on your place. And yes, they go all the way back to Roswell and Aztec and all this, where those entities are brought underground and massive cloning procedures and experiments have been done. Right over here at Northrop, underneath the ground, they have major experiments going on all the time. And they have produced a species that is some, 6.5, 7 feet tall. They're quite tall. They are a little more reptilian in features, not as much as you're going to find on the front of the kooky UFO magazine. But they're going to have a rather sharp face. But they don't look rodent-like. They look more scaly-like. Only they're not scaly. Any more than you pick up a snake and it's scaly. Most of them are smooth. Although they've crossed them genetically, they will have slit eyes, like a cat or a reptile. They are extremely, extremely docile, beautiful, beautiful beings.
Are you saying that someone here over at Northrop?
Oh yes, they're
bred these aliens.
They have created these aliens. They call them aliens. They're obviously from Northrop, and they come out every now and then, and they get up in Stallion Springs, and pretty soon here come the military troopers to gather them all back up, and then over across the mountain near Northrop, they will go visit. If they get out, if they get above ground, they will go visit the neighbors, but they're harmless. They are totally docile, almost infantile in their beingness. They're frightening because they look different. Come on. You watch X-Files, I guess. Everybody does.
So they come from,
This particular, the ones I'm talking about, because I have local witnesses that have seen them. And there's a very interesting, cute story of up at Stallion Springs, three or four of them, came while these people were having a gathering, a party, and they couldn't figure out what was happening inside the house because the lights of the cars would go on and off. So somebody finally says, well, we better go check and see. Maybe there's some vandals there. Well, this is pretty far up and back in Stallion Springs off of the regularly driven road, and they go out, and here are three of these beings, for lack of better description, and they're turning on all the buttons in the car, and they're rolling up and down the windows, and they've got the washers going, and they're very friendly, and they were like the little puppy dogs that come to play. You know, now we've got people out here looking at us, shining lights on us and everything, but this is okay too. And pretty soon the military came, and it got nasty from then on. They, you know, all of those people in there, you didn't see anything. And so they gathered their children up and they haul them off. So there have been so many experiments, and they're getting ready. The government is getting ready. This is why all the hype about aliens and Independence Day and all of this malarkey. They're getting you ready for an alien invasion, and every one of you will believe it. And all they've got to do is put one of these slit-eyed creatures, innocent little creatures, out there on the front page of the paper, or shove it down Main Street.
Or on Extra.
And all of you are going, do you want a scoop?
Yeah.
Got a nibble there. Yeah, right on tape there.
I'll tell you what.
Trading.
You be nice to us, and you're going to get scoops like you never dreamt of.
Commander, I think there's some concern on the part of the Extra crew that they're going to run out of tape.
A journalist running out of tape?
No, this is unprecedented experience.
You brought a cake. Are you going on the record for that?
Do you know, gentlemen, that I wouldn't care if you didn't air even 30 seconds of this?
They're not listening.
I didn't come down here to talk to the nation.
You're going to have to repeat that, Commander, when they're able to listen there.
Hang on.
Yes, you can ask questions. Well, on a more serious note, I can even prove who I am. How many of you want to know who won the ducky float race?
Hold on a minute, Commander. I think we're all missing that one.
The rubber ducky race yesterday? Aw, come on. People keep up. This was a big Los Angeles deal.
Didn't you know there were rubber duckies, let alone a rubber ducky race?
Ask some of the people here their impressions of you, Commander, and your message while we're here, and then we'd like to talk to you and Doris, actually, and EJ and themselves.
Thank you. I appreciate your correcting that.
Sure.
It's that's why I also feel that you can do better as far as the realistic things of structure and corporations and this sort of thing. One scoop you would have, if you'd pay attention, is the sheltering use of corporate structure. And the only place left that you have within your United States, and you can't depend on offshore anymore, is the corporate structure as laid forth in, it used to be Delaware and Wyoming and Nevada. Now it's only Nevada where you can have any kind of shelter, any kind of privacy. You need to do that with corporate headquarters. I think that they don't need me to do that, Rick.
Okay, just the general impression of all. We'll probably just move over here to a different spot.
Commander, there's 15 minutes focused over to get some interviews.
Fine.
Commander, how often do you do these meetings?
Well, certainly not regularly. If there are ones coming to visit who have read books and things like that, we'll usually, just to be, I guess, gracious or to share, we'll usually have a meeting. We have no scheduled anything. If you called and asked, do you think the commander could have a meeting this Sunday afternoon or Saturday morning or whatever? And I don't like to use the term convenient because I don't mind being inconvenienced. But it gets to be a 24-hour-a-day ordeal already until these people have no family life, no anything. So we have to be a little bit cautious, and we don't have a church, so, I mean, come on. We just have a meeting. If I am going to give some information, I might as well have 100 people listening to it as one or two.
Have you considered other outlets or other people to be conduits? Or?
I have others, and I'm not going to give you that.
Is this group here in contact with the others, or are these completely separate?
Some of them, but some no, some yes.
How many people do you think know of your message and know of your words around the world?
Everybody. If you listen and you have, and this is something mankind must understand, you come into a forgetful environment when you are birthed, but you are born until adults get hold of a baby. All of you are innately knowing of what's right and wrong, and therefore every being on the planet of sane mind, sound mind, you see, there are the children, the imbeciles, the ignorant. The ignorant doesn't count. A child is the most innocent and totally ignorant being that there is. A moron, literally, with the medical identification of a classification of moron, is unable to discern right from wrong. And this is one of the grossest errors of people taking drugs and becoming totally inebriated.